You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello. You're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I am chatting, I was going to say with someone across the pond, but I'm actually at the far western end of the U.S., so it's across my country and then across the pond. I'm chatting with Leon Street, who is joining us from the U.K. today. Leon, how are you?
I'm doing very good, thank you. And I'm looking forward to this chat already. I mean, in the green room, we've been going back and forth. I'm just looking to share some value with the audience.
Excellent. Well, you know, a lot of the listeners of this program, which I didn't tell you, are in the offline professional services space. But a lot of what you do and the types of people that you tend to serve in the coaching space, the consulting mm-hmm. space, the online business owner space, I think a lot of this is applicable to a wide range of businesses. And so let's sort of step back for a moment and talk a little bit about, you know, your core approach to marketing and your philosophy in general.
Awesome. So I love the fact that you just said, you know, who this podcast is for, you know, offline businesses, so to speak, consulting, that kind of stuff. I cut my teeth with offline businesses. Like, that's where I cut my cloth. You know, I really got stuck into, I guess, understanding what marketing was. And I'll get into the principles in a moment, but I mean, I'm not sure if this goes out on video or just audio, David. I should have asked you that earlier, I guess. But like, just over my shoulder, that's my book there. You can see More Leads, More Clients. And I guess I learned the principles of marketing as I see them by working with those businesses, because I used to run and own a marketing agency before I transitioned. Around about 7 years ago, I started the transition into becoming a visionary marketing coach. But to kind of get into what marketing is, I understand it right now, it's psychology, it's human psychology. And the more we can understand about the target audience that we are hoping to sell to, you know, with the products and services that we all have, the better we actually become at marketers or marketing in our businesses. And I've done this so many times that sometimes when I look at businesses, I'm no longer looking so much so at their products, but looking at like, who's their audience and what are they actually saying to them? And what do their audience want to achieve, right? And sometimes it's a bit funny for people because they're like, but you've never worked in this industry. How can you know that that's the same thing? I'm like, are we dealing with human beings here? Yeah. And ultimately, that's it. You know, if you're selling e-commerce where there's probably like, let's say, less human interaction and more kind of automation, yeah, you know, there's probably less emphasis, but still the message has to drop. It has to connect. And so for me, I guess I'll come back to the principles of how I see marketing. Just there was a saying that I got introduced to by an old business partner, and I'm sure it comes from somebody wise and wonderful, like we were speaking about Eugene Schwartz a moment ago, but it's marketing for me is to achieve a message to market match on the right media. The three M's, that's mm-hmm. how I was introduced to it. And the way that I get into it now is, if you understand empathy from your audience's point of view and you put that into your message, you win. That's marketing.
Oh, that's beautiful. I don't know who to attribute that message, market, and media match to, but one person I hear who talks about this all the time is Dan Kennedy.
Yes.
And so I think,
it,
you know,
it could be him actually, because I know my business partner, Rob, who I used to run a podcast with, actually, it was my first podcast that I got into. He was always into Dan Kennedy, so it could have been.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't new. It's just, you know, repackaged, reinvented, and, you know, it probably predates him, but he found a new way to say it. So
exactly.
And so I love what you're talking about in terms of the fact that we're all humans. We all tend to make decisions the same way, think the same way. And so if a business owner or a marketer really stops to think about, you know, the person that they're speaking to, it can be much more effective potentially than what they may be doing now. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of curious. You know, you said you used to run a marketing agency. You've been coaching people through this process for a while. you know, without giving any names away, mm-hmm. what are the types of, you know, sort of egregious mistakes that you've encountered along the way that are pretty typical for most businesses?
I guess most people kind of fall into this because we all do it when, especially if we take ourselves back to the launching or startup phase of our business, we just go out there pushing the product. Like, we know in our hearts, the thing that we have to sell is the thing that our audience need. And we believe it so much that we try even harder to push it. And the biggest mistakes are we just push the product. And, you know, Dan Kennedy, actually, you know, just picking him up as a reference, talks about this. I think it's in The Ultimate Sales Letter, actually, his book. It's a really good book, by the way. And in the book, he talks about two types of offers, I believe. And in there, you have the product offer, which is where you just push your product. And the other one is a lead generation offer. And for me, I think the number one mistake most people make is they push with the product offer, meaning that they're going in with features, advantages, how great we are, or they're going in with, you know, really basic things to create desire, which is, you know, just discounts. But then when you're in a flooded or saturated market, you know, everybody's discounting, so everybody's at the same place as you, and it's kind of like hard to stand out. And I think that's the biggest mistake that I've seen. I think the other one is, which kind of follows very closely to that, is when a company starts marketing, they think that that campaign is the winner, like out the gate. That's it. Yeah. Like, that's how marketing's supposed to be. And the more, I guess, the deeper I got into marketing, I realized that everything, like literally everything, is an ongoing test. It's like you're a scientist in a laboratory and you'll create one formula, but in 12 months time, that formula no longer works. It could even be like, we could relate it to, you know, what's happened in the past 21 months. You create some kind of solution, and then there's a mutation, and now you've got to find a new solution to stop that mutation of the virus type of thing. And I think that's what marketing is. It's like the market shifts, and, you know, there are different things that happen. Technology then comes into play that changes the dynamic of the deliverability of your message. You then have products that make people's lives easier. So then you have to adapt, like, you know, smartphones compared to how we used to market in the past, like 10 years ago, whereas smartphones now, they're basically the computer that people use. It's no longer, oh, I need to make for desktop as priority. And it's kind of like smartphone out of the gate. And I think that's, you know, really what I find is that the first thing is people push product. The second thing is that they expect it to win straight away. And I've found that over time, I've been more happy to go down the route of exploration. But the more that you dial in the marketing, the more that you understand exactly what you're looking for.
Makes total sense. The one thing I was, so as you were talking through this, and I was thinking about a point that you made about using different channels or different methods. Mm-hmm. And I happen to be going through Dan Kennedy's latest book, Why Advertising Fails, right now. And a very important point that I think you and I probably both make mm-hmm. to our clients, and he makes in this book, is regardless of the channel, regardless of the technology, the underlying principles, which you defined earlier, mm-hmm. remain the same.
100%.
And that's a really important point, I think, that most of the business owners I encounter don't necessarily get, right? It's, you know, I'm not sure whether I should admit this openly, but I've never been on TikTok. I don't know exactly what happens there, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that if, you know, my client's nephew said, "Oh, you need to be on TikTok," to my client, I'm gonna, you know, sort of step back and say, "Wait a second, let's sort of, you know, let's take this apart and see, you know, why." Who's yep. there? What are you trying to mm-hmm. achieve, and all of that? And then ultimately, even if we did proceed with the TikTok strategy, it would still be the same underlying principles all along.
I agree. And I think the fact that you said who is there is the key, because we only want to show up where our audience are hanging out. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, especially with these kind of new things, oh, you need to be there. And it's, you know, I've got a really good example of one of my clients who is actually on there, and his audience is in the UK, mostly young adults, like 17 to 25, because he runs a driving school. And more importantly, about 3 years ago, we launched a online course on how to learn practically how to drive using some videos and so on. And his audience is there in abundance. That's the age group for TikTok, 17 to 25. And so I think that's also the big mistake a lot of people also step into. Oh, there's a new platform. And then they jump into it kind of like, oh, that's where you need to be, because they heard some experts saying, well, that's where everything's going and that's where you should be. But actually, are your audience there? That's the first question. And if they're not there, then you don't need to be there. If you're not sure if they're there, then test. Don't just go all in. And I think that's more mistakes that people make, right? Going with what other people said rather than where their audience actually are.
I also want to drill down into this testing concept that you're sharing, because it requires work. It requires that you pay attention. It requires that you're consistently on top of it. And you know, we were talking about human nature and human psychology earlier, and I'm guessing most businesses and business owners are not really interested in doing that work, so they're looking for the easy way out. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting actually, because what are we on now? Like 2.5 hours ago, I was on a group coaching call with my clients, and I actually gave this answer that I'm about to give to you. And I said, one of the principles that I learned from one of my coaches is the principle of baking muffins rather than baking the whole cake. And I think in terms of the world of testing, what most people think marketing needs to be is, I'm going to create this amazing marketing campaign and it's going to win. That's baking the cake. So you go all in on baking the cake. But when you go all in on baking the cake and you're putting out a new message, perhaps you've got something wrong with the ingredients. Perhaps you've got, you know, a little bit too much flour or not enough baking soda or whatever that ingredient is, right? And when it comes to marketing, the thing is, you don't know the exact ingredients, especially when you're launching new campaigns. If your business that's been going some time and you're kind of refreshing and you want to put out new campaigns, you may have some historical data or information that you can draw upon. But most of the time, when it comes to testing, people don't want to test because they see it as hard work. And this is how I explain it to my clients. So I have like kind of different levels that I push clients to. And usually the first level is to get to an extra 10,000 a month. And what I say at that point is, we're going for that target because with the extra 10,000, we can now employ a person to take on the system of what you're doing. So you'll now alleviate yourself, let's say 50%. You're either the business owner who manages the marketing, or you have a team member who manages the marketing with you. And the key thing for me is that if you want to free yourself from it, you still have to be the visionary in your business as the business owner, right? Because you're the person who sees what's possible. You probably have a team, or you might have a VA that helps you then implement. And I think that's what testing is about. Your goal is to set the vision, but that doesn't mean that you've been given the keys to unlock exactly what makes a person buy from you. And so I use this concept of baking muffins. So we do smaller pieces of marketing that have big impact. And just to give you a quick example, David, I had one client recently. She put out a very basic post, less than 100 words in her post on social media. And within 3 days, she attracted over 700 leads, right? She didn't have to set up a funnel. She didn't have to create a crazy long marketing strategy. She put this post together. 700 leads. And I know for some people to get 700 leads will take them 3 years to get 700 leads, never mind 3 days. And so for me, it's more important that you have a way to trigger a person's desire so that you can get a response and then determine how you proceed from there. And I think that's the mistake people make. They go all in without being able to test. And testing sounds hard. But actually, if you do it in the right way, you just look at it as bite-sized chunks just to see if you can keep winning. And that's what you're looking for, the winning formula.
Wow. I love that. And I love the visual of the muffins versus the cake. I think I've seen many a bake-off contestant fail because, right, they try the whole thing and then have to scrap it all and, you know, scramble at the last minute. And they end up either getting kicked off the show or definitely not getting a handshake from Paul Hollywood, I'll tell you that. Exactly. Yeah. So, but I think your point is very well taken, that if you approach it strategically and you think, okay, I'm as the business owner going to start this process with the goal, I love what you said, of hitting an income level or revenue level where I can afford to then have somebody else take over this responsibility who can focus their attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets done properly. That's great.
Yeah. And if you're the visionary, you still oversee. And it's not about like being like a micromanager or being a control freak. It's the reality is that having your strategy done the right way is one of the highest level jobs in your business. And so from my perspective, I always find that the senior people should always still be involved. And if you run like, you know, a small business, solopreneur, whether you have, you know, 5 employees or up to 10, you're still going to have your insights and your take on what needs to happen. And also sometimes you might not come up with a great idea, but you need to approve it.
I told you before we started recording that I used to be a stage manager.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding everybody's job is key to success as a stage manager, right?
Yeah.
In the theater industry. And I think that's what you're talking about too with the business owner, is that you mm-hmm. need to understand all the pieces. You don't need to push all the buttons and turn all the yeah. levers, but absolutely understanding how things work so that you can make more informed decisions.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. You slipped a word in as you were telling your story a couple minutes ago that I want to go back to. It's the word vision.
Yeah.
And it's part of how you introduced yourself as well. And mm-hmm. and I wonder if you can share a little bit more about your thoughts on this word and why you focus on that word.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
No, that's cool. Vision for me is it's a very powerful word when people understand what it really means. And, you know, quite often we can get into business because we just have this idea of you can make a difference, not quite sure how, or you just have this idea of, hey, I want to put, you know, more food on the table for home, for the family, whatever your reason is in business. But there's a point where that doesn't go any further. Yeah. Like there's a point where you're serving people and you've kind of satisfied to where you wanted to be. And there's a point where you fed your family enough and they're secure enough. And so for me, vision is about creating something bigger than where you are at any point in time. And the best way for me to kind of give that example, and people, they relate to it pretty quickly. You can look at some of the famous figures in history, like Steve Jobs. His vision was to put a ding in the universe. To create that kind of vision means that they never stop inventing. They never stop pushing forward. And Apple continues beyond his passing. Yeah. So a vision truly, it's never truly achieved in your lifetime, but it has the potential to exceed your lifetime, right? And so for me, the more that we focus on something bigger than where we are, the more we put ourselves in the space of creation, because we don't look at things as being, it's like a never-ending job or a never-ending grind. It's more about, as I graduate to the levels of, you know, getting closer to the vision, you'll never get there, guys. Yeah. You only have to look at the likes of Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa. They had major visions and they were still going after their passing, but it's in the pursuit of it. It's almost like the film In Pursuit of Happiness, right? Mm-hmm. It calls us to a bigger level of accountability. And it allows us to create bigger results for our audience, for our niche, for our target audience. And I think I use the term vision because I realized if you're in business and you do get to that point where, let's say you've arrived, whatever level it is, you know, everybody's level is different, right? Well, what calls you beyond that? Because there's more you can offer to this world. And that's why I use the word vision. I find when people truly understand what it is, you know, it calls them to that higher level of accountability and what we're here for. And I think I got to it because I got to a stage in business and achieving results where everything seemed to fall into place. And then I got to that place where it stopped going any further. And it was like, what now? And so for me, what I found on a more deeper level of being successful in business, it's to hold that vision and live to that vision, to make decisions from that vision, which affects everything right down to marketing.
Thank you for that. So I'm thinking about what you just said. I'm thinking about mm-hmm. the example of Steve Jobs, and I'm also thinking about a talk I heard. I think it was Gary Bensavenga, or it was a big copywriter recently.
Yeah.
Who talked about very clear, specific, short-term, achievable goals.
Mm.
And you know, at first, they sort of seem like they're polar opposites, right? Work toward a vision that you may never achieve in your lifetime, or focus on achieving some little thing. So I'm curious how they connect with each other.
Cool. The vision, and sometimes I do talks on this as well. So, you know, whilst I talk about marketing, I talk about vision from the perspective of, it's a more spiritual journey. Yeah. And doesn't mean it's religious, but it's more of a spiritual journey. And whether you are religious and relate the two, that's still okay. That's cool. But it's more of a spiritual thing. And I will explain. So if we're talking about something visionary, like when you go into your business, whether you believe you have a vision or not, you go in to create something that didn't exist before. And from a physical real world perspective, a person might just say, well, all I did was set up a business and create some products, services, and go sell them. But yet it didn't exist until you took that upon yourself to do it, right? So in that very moment, the person tapped into being visionary. Yeah. But in order to take it to that next level, real world, they had to then create goals to get them to that next level. And some of us have it just built in us. It's kind of like, we know what needs to be done. We push, we grind, we build teams. Like we just have it within us. And usually it's to do with how we're brought up, our environment, and the different things we're exposed to. But not everybody has it to that degree. But when they're, let's say, coached or consulted like you do, David, and they're kind of given those insights, and those weaker areas are able to become stronger because they've now got the knowledge, that's what opens up the door for them to then go, okay, now we can actually go for this bigger level or the next level up, which takes us to the next goal achieved, which takes us closer to the overall vision. And so for me, whilst on one hand, visionary may seem like this kind of supernatural phenomenon, because that's what the term is when you go to the definition, Oxford or Cambridge Dictionary. It's a supernatural thing.
We use Webster's over here. I'm sorry.
I understand. But, you know, our universities are a bit older than you guys. But anyway, the point I'm getting to, it's a supernatural phenomenon. But yet, look at the greatest leaders like who I just mentioned, and you will find, what do they speak about? It's being visionary. Michael Gerber speaks about it in the E-Myth Revisited. He says the business owner takes on three roles: the technician, the manager, and the visionary. And the visionary is the one who has the strategy, who sees the things before they're even realized, who sees this is what's possible. And that's why for me, it's so powerful.
Yeah. You saw me looking for my copy, didn't you? As soon as you said it. Yeah. It's behind me on the shelf. We'll chat about that later. Anyway. And I think it's somewhat analogous, although it's a little bit different from the relationship between strategy and tactics as well, right?
100%.
You know, strategic approach is overarching umbrella, and the tactics are the things that get you, you know, from where you are to where you want to go.
Correct. The micro.
Okay, we're getting close to the end of time together, and I'm eager to learn a little bit about the work that you do with your clients. But before we get there, for somebody who doesn't have the opportunity to work directly with you, I wonder if you can sort of describe the process that you approach with your clients to help them do what you help them do.
Okay.
So that a business owner can say, okay, well, I can at least start that process on my own.
Yeah, 100%. So I have a number of steps right at the beginning, very simple steps that a person can take if they want to start to create some really good marketing results, or at least just get on the ladder to getting some things done. And so the first thing is obviously to understand your niche, your target audience. And the way that I work is very simple. Usually you have like your number one service or your product, your main bestseller type of thing, or the thing you actually just want to sell more of. And I look at it from the perspective, what are the top three problems that product or service fixes for your particular niche? Yeah. And the key thing is that by understanding your niche, understanding what their frustrations are and what their desires, their wants are, those top three problems usually are their top three frustrations. And the key for me is that the more you understand about what's going on with your target audience in terms of what's holding them back and what's the outcome, the desired outcome that they're looking for with your product or service, the deeper you can go with empathy. And I mentioned that earlier. See, the thing is, most of us want to do something quick. We love quick. quick is all about comparison. We see, oh, somebody's just done $1 million day, or somebody's just done $1 million weekend or week, whatever it is, right? Or somebody has $1 million business. And there's this saying, comparison is the thief of joy, right? And the problem with us is that whilst we have within us that most of us have a goal, we have a vision or a dream, yeah, at the very least, we see somebody and we're like, where am I? And we look at ourselves. And so in order to create empathy, you have to remove yourself with what you think needs to happen, and you have to understand what's going on with your audience. And the way that I do that is, it's very simple. Who are they? So, you know, your normal demographics, and what's the problem they have, which I mentioned a moment ago. When you identify all the frustrations, pick the top three frustrations, even if it's just a hunch, yeah? And those top three frustrations will tell you what your product or service needs to solve for your client, yeah? Now, how do you go a layer deeper? I have this exercise called the transformation bridge. This is the foundation of most of the marketing message that my clients put in place. Very simple. What's the frustrations, which you've already started to identify? What's the fears? What are the wants? And what are the aspirations of your audience? And there's a very simple way to do this. You get a sheet of paper, or you do it on a digital document. You draw a line down the middle and a line across. On the left, top left side, you have frustrations, fears at the bottom on the left. Top right, you have wants / desires. Bottom right, you have the aspirations, what they aspire to be once they've achieved those wants. That becomes your core basis of muffins. Now you know what people want. You put that into your marketing message. Now you know what they need to overcome in frustrations. You know what they fear. And you start cherry picking. You start testing. And this is where the test starts happening, because then what will happen eventually, you'll start to see that actually, these are the top five frustrations, and these are the three wants. These are the number one fears that my audience respond to in my marketing message, whether it's a video or a post. And that's where you win. And just to kind of give you a quick real world example, it's a very quick story, David. I tested this with a home maintenance company who supplied double glazing windows here in the UK, conservatories, like buildings that attach to your main property. We put this in place with three videos. We put that into the video. Each video then had a call to action to get a free guide. And the guide was like a 10-page PDF. Within a 12-month period, spending something like $1,500 a month, they brought in an extra £1 million, $1.2 million just from that strategy. Three videos.
It's beautiful. Okay, so you've now tied everything together. We got the testing in there. We got the human psychology, both of the prospect and of the business owner. You slipped in. I heard that too. and then you spoke about how you basically take the way that the prospect is thinking and you chart it out in a way that I think gives you the ability to, going back to a guy we were talking about earlier, Eugene Schwartz, you assemble, right, different variations of your message and see which one resonates.
Exactly. That's beautiful. It. To find your winning control.
and you slipped in the muffins again too, which I love.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, how can people find out more about you?
So, people can find me via my book. Obviously, I mentioned as well, we got the book. It's on Amazon. It's called More Leads, More Clients. Look, you will see the subtitle. It says the 10-step marketing manifesto to becoming one of the most valued and highly paid coaches in your industry, but it works for every business. Just don't tell everyone. Yeah. Because it's based on principles. My name's Leon Street. I'm the only one that exists, David, because I have this silent E in my last name. So you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, all of the main platforms. I know you mentioned that you were on my YouTube channel earlier. So you can find me online. And the best way to get in touch is just comment below my content, and then me or one of my team will reach out to you.
Beautiful. Well, I will make sure to leave as many of those links as I can in the show notes as well, so that people can find you in many different places online. So Leon Street, thank you so very much for your time and your wisdom. I really appreciate the opportunity that I've had to talk to you.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise. All right, folks. This has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I thank you so much for spending some time with us, and I hope to see you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.